And one of your questions to me was, how has it helped me? I've had people contact me to do contract work who said, I've been reading the testimonials on your profile, and I want to work with you. That's how they open our conversation. My sales process has just been, I would say, more than halved, which means I spend less time getting new customers and more time closing more customers.
Hi, I'm Michael Sinoff, founder and CEO of HardToFindSeminars.com. For the last 5 years, I've interviewed the world's best business and marketing minds. Along the way, I've created a successful publishing business, all from home, from my two-car garage. When my first child was born, he was very sick, and it was then that I knew I had to have a business that I could operate from home. Now my challenge is to build the world's largest free resource for online, downloadable audio business interviews. I knew I needed a site that contains strategies, solutions, and inside angles to help you live better, to save and make more money, to stay healthier, and to get more out of life. Internet marketing and marketing in general can be a minefield. Thousands of people every day lose their shirts trying. I've learned a lot in the last 5 years, and today I'm going to show you the skills you need to survive. Hi, it's Michael Sinoff with Michael Sinoff's HardToFindSeminars.com. I just learned about an absolutely incredible website called LinkedIn. Now, we've all heard of these social networking sites like MySpace and Facebook, but LinkedIn is a little bit different. It is a social networking website, but it's specifically for serious business professionals. There's over 17 million members signed up, and it is an unbelievable tool. I just learned about it, and in my quest for more knowledge, I searched out the world's foremost expert on LinkedIn and how to use it to generate more contacts and generate more qualified relationships using business social networking as a tool. If you're one of my HMA marketing consultants, I know you're going to find this tool extremely valuable in creating new relationships to get new clients. Let's get going. If you'd like to expand your business network, go to LinkedInSeminar.com. That's www.LinkedInSeminar.com. What is online social networking? A lot of us have heard of that. What is it, and how long has this been going on online, and what's going on with it today?
Well, social networking in and of itself has been around time immemorial, just to be flat and straight. You know, you've got any assembly where people get together and they're social is a social network. And there are groups out there that have been meeting face-to-face, Rotary, the Freemasons, Chambers of Commerce, associations, etc. That's been going on forever. In terms of online networking, the first real big online network that got any kind of notice was MySpace, where it turned into a social network where people could display the social parts of themselves and connect with people online and join interest groups, etc. And frankly, it just mirrors what's going on in the real world. But when you go online and people's propensity to browse, it works kind of the way our minds work, which is it's chaotic, it's random. We can follow a thought and follow an interest, and it will lead us to other interests and discover things. And so what's happening is as these groups come together, people are able to reach out beyond the natural boundaries of their geographic locations. And they're starting to meet people in other countries, and they're starting to meet other people with the same kinds of interests, and they gravitate to these groups. And if you look at MySpace or Facebook or Friendster, or even, you know, everybody who's on Plaxo has begun to see Plaxo transform itself into a social network. All you're doing is you're getting a deeper and deeper sense of the people that you know, frankly, discovering things that they may never have disclosed to you in personal conversations because they put it up on the internet. And all of a sudden, that's an opportunity to go even deeper in your relationships.
Now, how did you first get involved with this online social networking? Where did this all start for you, where you became an expert trainer in this networking and the online social networking, especially LinkedIn, that we're going to talk about?
My background was as an analyst for a hedge fund, building relationships with banking organizations around the globe. So I have these set of skills that allowed me to pick up the phone or go to a roadshow and meet people and begin to build relationships. And I was introduced to LinkedIn. I guess I received one of those invitations.
Let me ask you this. When you were handling these bank relationships, before you found LinkedIn, were you doing it the hard way? What frustrations were you experiencing doing it that way before you found LinkedIn? Any?
A lot, frankly. Number one, you know, when you're out there and you're meeting these people, they're from all over, whether it's an international crowd, which is a lot of my relationships were international. It's hard to keep in touch with people. It's all by phone. Sometimes it would be you would show up to an event, but the event itself didn't rip itself to being social. So, you know, being social looks like being to an event or to a road show or to a bar afterwards, but it's limited in its scope and its depth. And so managing it the hard way is pretty much how everybody does it. It's a shotgun approach. It's random and chaotic, and it's pretty hard to manage.
Were you traveling all over the world?
I was. I was traveling all over the United States and Europe. And then I had relationships in South America as well, in Brazil and Argentina.
How old are you?
I'm 34.
34, okay. And then you were invited to LinkedIn.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, when I got on LinkedIn, I didn't really get it. But as I started to play with it, and I started to search and understand the power of LinkedIn, a light bulb went on where I could begin to sort and be getting updated information and be able to touch base with people via email. And as LinkedIn has morphed, I can now do a lot of that inside the LinkedIn system and keep track of it, which has been extraordinarily powerful for my relationships.
For more information on how to use LinkedIn to network and generate new clients and customers, go to www.linkedinseminar.com. That's www.linkedinseminar.com. LinkedIn SEMINAR.com. Can you attribute LinkedIn to an increase in business and productivity for yourself?
Absolutely. In the last week alone, I've had 6 contacts from my LinkedIn network that are potential joint ventures, that are potential business relationships, requests for expertise and consulting. You know, positioning myself well in LinkedIn, as well as using some of the trust and authority of the LinkedIn platform, I've made myself much more findable via search engines, as well as writing and having it connected with my blog and my website and that social web that the search engines love. So I'm more and more findable using LinkedIn as my hub.
So let's talk in reference for my HMA marketing consultants. We have marketing consultants who provide marketing consulting services, and we have consultants from all over the world. And you would categorize yourself as a consultant, right?
I would, yes.
And your niche is networking and training on LinkedIn, correct?
Well, let me clarify that. You know, when most people say networking,
yeah,
they get this horrible image in their head of large people and a waste of time. I don't do any of that. And there are people out there who specialize in that. I don't.
Let's confront the negative stereotypes of networking. When people hear that, what do you think most people are thinking about when they hear the word networking?
I think they're thinking about the monumental waste of time when they go to an event, they get a stack of business cards, and never follow through. They go to events looking for business and don't find it, or it's a shotgun approach, so they spend a lot of time with a very low return on their investment. And so they stop doing it. And the only reason they were there doing it in the first place was because people said it was important. They couldn't say why it was important, but they said it was important, so they're there. You've got a room full of people looking for business, some of them are explicit about it, some of them being very casual about it, but they're there to get business. I mean, put that picture in your head. Say you have a room full of 400 people looking for business with everybody trying to sell everybody there, and it gets very uncomfortable.
Right.
I would say that is the stereotype that I come up against every day in what I do.
Okay, so how have you positioned yourself in the marketplace? What's your elevator pitch if someone says, Chip, what do you do?
I help people unlock the value of their networks.
I work with people who all have an established business that are successful already, but they know that they're not going to be able to outperform themselves now, meaning the strategies and tactics that got them successful are not going to take them to the next level. So they've got this book of business, they've got these relationships with clients and vendors, etc., but they've never really looked at how they're positioned in their network. And they've never really thought about the next piece of their growth. So they plateaued in their performance and they can no longer continue their growth. What we do is we go in and analyze with them their networks, how they're positioned, what their goals are, and whether the people in their networks are positioned to help them get there or not. And if they are, training those people how to interact, training and finding staff, looking for and uncovering resources that they need that they're already sitting on top of and may not know it, and then rearranging their network resources to actually pull them into that next level of performance.
Tell me, what is LinkedIn and how does it differ from the other social networking sites that you've seen?
Fundamentally, LinkedIn is a tool. And it's a tool that allows you to connect with the people in your already existing network and discover connections and pathways to resources and people that you need to get where you want to go. So here's how it's fundamentally different from, say, a Facebook or a MySpace. Number one, LinkedIn is primarily a business-to-business network, meaning they're professionals that are in this network. The stats off of the LinkedIn site itself, last time I looked, which I must admit it's been a little while, but the average income, I believe, was $130,000. Average years of experience was 15 years of experience. So it's a very specific demographic. And these people are serious about business. They're serious about growing their business. They're serious about their careers. They're business people. Now you go to Facebook or MySpace. MySpace is like the Wild Wild West. If there's something that you could be offended by, you can find it on MySpace. Facebook was designed for college students primarily, and while they've got an open platform and they're trying to make a jump into the business-to-business space, the people who use LinkedIn and go to look at Facebook can't make the shift. It's too social, which is not a bad thing, but it's not business-oriented. And that's where LinkedIn really positions itself or finds itself positioned. I don't know if they did that purposefully, but that's where they find themselves positioned in that space of social media and social networking.
What about Spoke?
Spoke is more of a sales platform. And what Spoke does is it collects business information so that you can prospect. And that's really their proposition. Their value proposition is that they've got current contact information for people that you want to prospect. Social media and social networking is very different than the traditional sales approach. And as a matter of fact, I sat down yesterday with a sales trainer who sees this coming, and he's beginning to look at how he's going to position himself to leverage social media because it's a very different approach. As a matter of fact, a lot of people make the mistake of using LinkedIn as a purely prospecting platform, and they find themselves ostracized in the groups, in the chat groups, and like the My LinkedIn Power Forum. They'll be talked about. People talk about how so-and-so has been bothering them. They find themselves reported to LinkedIn and their accounts shut off because they have to go to the service. So it's a very different space, and traditional direct mail marketers and email marketing people are having a very tough time understanding social media for that very reason, because they cannot spam people. They've got to be much more creative to intrigue people and to have people opt in and want to be part of the groups that they're creating.
So give a warning to anyone who thinks that they're going to go into LinkedIn and be able to search out professionals maybe in their network within the same industry and be able to prospect and promote. Give a warning and just clear up a little bit of maybe misconceptions that people may have that how they're going to be able to use this LinkedIn.
LinkedIn is about relationships. Social networking, about relationships. If you approach this and depersonalize it, you'll be shut out. Not only shut out, but shut off. So if you're planning on using LinkedIn to build your relationships and to find relationships that can help you get where you want to go, you're on the right track. If you're using it purely for prospecting without any intention of building relationships, you're going to be very frustrated.
And LinkedIn has within it tools that inhibit people from using it in a spammy type of way, right?
Exactly. They have several features. They report as spam in their internal communication system,
And they also have, in the connections section, the I don't know button. And if you get I don't know'd 5 times, LinkedIn will suspend your account. If you get reported for spam, you know, more than a couple of times, LinkedIn will suspend your account. They just won't tolerate it. So, you know, before you get gung-ho about LinkedIn, read the terms of service so you understand social media is not the same as advertising. It's not the same as traditional marketing or mass marketing. You got to be very, very good at engaging people to really leverage LinkedIn.
Can we go through some benefits of being involved with LinkedIn?
Absolutely. I can share my personal experience for sure.
Yeah, let's do it.
I've connected to some of the most generous, giving people, frankly, in the world. And it's been through developing relationships over time, connecting, participating in online as well as offline discussions, helping people get where they want to go, making connections for people. So bottom line, right now LinkedIn is at roughly 17 million users worldwide. And over the last 3 years, I've made about 1,500 connections, and I have access to about 5.4 million people in the LinkedIn network.
Yeah, that's incredible. Explain what a direct connection is.
Yeah, a direct connection is someone that you've met personally. You extend an invitation to connect with them. They accept. That is a first-tier connection, one that you have direct access to.
How do you benefit by having a direct access connection compared to an indirect access connection?
Well, again, it's a matter of the scope of the network. When you're directly connected to someone, you have access to communicate with them.
For more exclusive interviews on business, marketing, advertising, and copywriting, go to Michael Senoff's hardtofindseminars.com. What I was thinking in my head is a direct connection gives you access to communicate with that direct connection's connections, where an indirect does not, right? Well, it does through an in-mail.
Right. Well, the other thing that it does is when you move them from a second or a third connection to a first connection, it grows your network and your reach in order of magnitude. Because if they're a third tier connection and they become a first tier connection, you could not see their second and third tier. So once they're in your first tier, you can see their second and third tiers.
Right. Just like with you, why don't we use an example of exactly how we're talking right now? And I'll give a specific example. I learned about LinkedIn about a week ago. I was looking for an expert to interview. I searched the LinkedIn database, and I found that you were in my network. I think you were a third tier through Wayne Mansfield.
Mm-hmm.
I asked Wayne to give us an introduction.
Mm-hmm.
Which he forwarded and basically gave a quick endorsement of me.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got back to me with your phone number. And the power of that, A, that endorsement, and the power of probably my bio page, and you saw what I did,
mm-hmm.
and the offer to do an interview instantly got you to get back with me.
Exactly.
Then I moved you, once we had a chance to talk the other day and build a little bit of a relationship and schedule an interview, I invited you and moved you from a third tier to a direct connect.
Mm-hmm.
So what that did for me is it gave me access and indirect access to your network.
Exactly. And did you happen to notice what happened to your stats when you connected with me?
I didn't do a compare. I'm sure they went up. I mean, I'm already at, like, access to 1.5 million people. It's pretty incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure you are probably a big part of that.
Right. And that's because I understand how the system works. I understand how to position myself. I know the ethical ways to build my network, both breadth and depth. So, you know, these are all things that I teach based on fundamental network building skills.
So is it a realistic goal for people within LinkedIn, and maybe it's different for everyone, to get as many connections as possible? I mean, you don't want just as many connections as possible just to have them.
No. Let me back up and say that, you know, it's my feeling that no, there are people out there who are doing that. However, they dilute the power of their network by doing that. Yes, there's an upside to doing that in that, of course, you know, you do a search and you get a lot more search results if you have a larger network like that. Downside is, you know, if you don't know a lot of the people that you're connected to and you forward a request, they may or may not even respond to you if they don't know you well. Does that make sense?
Yes.
They're going to be reticent to put their reputation on the line if you're going to be harassing the people they introduce you to.
Yeah, that's right. So with Wayne, if I didn't feel like I had enough of a relationship with Wayne Mansfield, I probably wouldn't have asked him to introduce us. I maybe would have chosen just doing a direct email, contacting you directly.
Right, which is a paid feature.
Yes.
Yes, you've got to be a paid user to do that. But yeah, absolutely. Doing that is reaching out and talking to people. I mean, I'm a firm believer. And if you got value to bring someone and you can build a relationship around that value, reach out by all means. But if you're just there to produce a transaction, that's going to cause problems for you on the LinkedIn system.
All right, let's go through some of these items here that we're going to talk about, some of the advantages and benefits of LinkedIn. Let's start with some of these items here. Can we use LinkedIn to increase one's credibility?
Yes, absolutely.
How do we do that in a nutshell?
Number one, it begins with a rock-solid profile. The majority of people on LinkedIn have not done any kind of work on their profile. When you do your profile work, when you write a good summary, when you talk about your specialties, when you talk about what you're looking to accomplish, and then you start to get recommendations from the people in your network, there's a tremendous amount of credibility that gets built in, especially with the people that already know you and that are connected to you. Because as your network gets updated, and I constantly am updating my profile so that it sends a message out to the people in my network that my profile has been updated.
So explain what this profile feature is on LinkedIn. LinkedIn offers every user to have a profile.
Yes. It allows you to put all of your information, links to your website, links to your blog, personal information in the summary section. There's a specialties section where you can talk about what you specialize in. You can put all of your education in there, any training that you've done. You can put your experience in there, past jobs, etc. And when you've done a very good job of putting your profile together, people can find you. Now, if you worked with people in the past, let's say at IBM, and they see that you're on LinkedIn and you remember them, you can connect to them. I was at a function last night here locally, and one of the guys in the room came up to me. He went through my LinkedIn 101 workshop, and he said, I got contacted from a guy that I worked with 20 years ago, and he gave me a glowing recommendation because I'm now looking for work, and that recommendation has already got me 3 interviews.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah. So in terms of your credibility, when other people are talking about you, when they can go in and look at you before they ever contact you, basically LinkedIn is acting as you out in virtual reality. It gives people a safe place to come check you out before they contact you.
So other than entrepreneurs like ourselves, there's a lot of professionals in the workforce, and this profile somewhat acts as an online resume.
It does, yes. It does. As a matter of fact, I've had the privilege to talk to a lot of recruiters, and a lot of the recruiters I've talked to are almost exclusively using LinkedIn now to source candidates. Almost exclusively.
Really?
Yeah, they said that they stopped going to the job boards.
Because it makes their job so much easier.
So much easier. Not only that, but they can develop relationships with people who are currently employed or underemployed before they ever even extend a job offer. So, you know, if you're listening to this interview and you're out of work, it's absolutely critical that you get onto LinkedIn and you do a rock-solid profile, because the folks who are looking for you are going to LinkedIn.
At the end of this interview, we're going to make a special offer for any of the listeners that's going to offer some advanced training on how to do this. So at the end of the interview, we'll give you a link where you can get more information on how to create a rock-solid profile. Let's talk about increasing your visibility through LinkedIn.
It works a lot the same way, except now that you're network building. But one thing that I didn't say prior was that LinkedIn actually sends your profile out to the search engines. So as you're interacting inside of LinkedIn, you've got your profile done, you're using LinkedIn questions and answers, you're participating, you're joining groups. What happens is you become more and more and more findable. So, you know, I said earlier as well that you can put links to your blog, you can put links to your website, you can put links to anywhere that you want to send people right inside of your LinkedIn profile. Well, the search engines crawl those links, which makes any other properties that you have much more findable because they're linked through LinkedIn, which has tremendous trust and authority inside of the search engine world.
I'll give you an example. I was playing around, and there's a feature, question and answers, where people within your network are asking questions, say, in my network related to marketing and advertising, and you can participate as a LinkedIn member and answer the questions of people within your network. And I was able to answer several questions and directed them to my website, hardtofindseminars.com, with a specific interview that would cover the answer in even more detail. And the following day, I did a search on Google, and it was in the Google rankings just 24 hours later.
Exactly, because what Google loves is new content. They're publishing this stuff to the search engines. You're becoming more and more visible. And the great thing about the question and answers is where you can really increase your visibility. I talked to a guy and partnered with a guy recently who saw a 25% increase in his jump in traffic at his website as he started to participate in questions and answers, because you can put your website links up in your profile and also in your questions and answers, ultimately more findable.
As an example, when I was looking for an expert in LinkedIn and I searched LinkedIn expert within my network, that's how I found you.
Mm-hmm.
So these keywords, if you're involved in industry, so for instance, in what I'm doing with audio marketing interviews, advertising, in my profile, I want to make sure I'm using keywords. Just like I would be optimizing keywords for my natural listings in Google, you want to do the same thing strategically for within LinkedIn.
Right, and we actually talk about that in the training that we do, about all of that and about positioning and about being clear what your keywords are. If that's something that's important to you, if being findable is important to you. If you go to Google and you type in LinkedIn training, I come up number one.
And does it lead to your LinkedIn profile?
It leads to my website, which leads to my blog, which leads to my LinkedIn profile.
Does it come up in the natural listings, your actual profile on LinkedIn, or is your website first?
Oh, my website first, and then down a ways, my LinkedIn profile.
I really like the way you've niched yourself. You've got a great little niche here with just one killer application, and you've positioned yourself as an expert, you know, rather than just being a consultant for everything. You've really niched yourself into a great little niche.
Mm-hmm.
That I don't think there's too many other people doing.
There's like four other people nationally who's doing it. And when I started to really go to work at creating myself in this niche, I knocked them out of the spots in the natural searches.
Good job. Okay, we've talked a little bit about increasing your connections. What else can we talk about how we can increase connections using this LinkedIn?
Now, this is where we start to get strategic. When you are looking at building your network and increasing your connections, there are a couple of schools of thought. You can connect randomly with people, or you can start to get very clear about who you need to connect with, do complex searches inside of LinkedIn, and drill down and find the very people that you need to connect with, reach out, start to build a relationship with them, connect with them, and that grows your network with the experts that you need, with the distribution systems that you need, with potential staff that you might need. Whatever network you're building, you can get very smart about it in LinkedIn. And given the way that LinkedIn works, you'll find pathways to get to people via referral or introduction that you would never have been able to find these people in a million years of networking.
If you'd like to expand your business network, go to LinkedInSeminar.com. That's www.linkedinseminar.com. LinkedInSeminar.com. In your LinkedIn introduction webinar, you actually take us through and show us screenshots where we can watch you do this. This is all covered in that training.
We have a series of workshops that we offer. The basic workshop, the LinkedIn 101 workshop, covers rock solid profiles. It gives you a deeper understanding of sort of the social networking space. We talk about how to build your network, mistakes to avoid that can get you shut out of the LinkedIn network. We talk about basic search features. And by the end of that 2.5 hours, you know more than 99.5% of the people who use LinkedIn.
Let's talk about increasing your testimonials. And I know on the profile page there is a place, and LinkedIn has integrated a system for people within your network to endorse you or give you testimonials. How have these helped you, and how do these testimonials or endorsements help one's profile?
Anybody on this call, I'm sure, already knows this, but a third-party testimonial is stronger than almost anything you can say about yourself. Now, the great thing about recommendations inside of LinkedIn, and we talk about this in our 201 workshop, because, you know, getting recommendations is really about positioning yourself. But you can actually solicit recommendations from people inside of the LinkedIn platform which is generating testimonials for you and what you do. And one of your questions to me was, how has it helped me? I've had people contact me to do contract work who said, I've been reading the testimonials on your profile, and I want to work with you. That's how they open our conversation. My sales process has just been, I would say, more than halved, which means I spend less time getting new customers and more time closing more customers.
Can you ever have too many testimonials on your profile page?
It depends on what you're using LinkedIn for. You know, if you're looking for a job and you've got lots of testimonials from past people, I would say no. Because what you're looking to do is position yourself as a highly qualified candidate. I don't really see a downside because, you know, the way that people look at and use testimonials is for social proof. So if you've got lots and lots of testimonials, they don't even have to read them all. They'll read one or two of them and they'll say, look, this is all good stuff. I don't even have to read any more of this.
Let's talk a little bit about some of the applications, some of the tools that LinkedIn has, three specifically, the LinkedIn Microsoft Outlook toolbar, and then the Internet Explorer LinkedIn toolbar, and the tools that make it simple to invite contacts to be members of LinkedIn. Have they really simplified this process?
Tremendously. So there's the Outlook toolbar, and there's the Microsoft Explorer toolbar, and there's a Firefox toolbar, I believe, as well.
Now let's start with the Outlook toolbar. What does this little application do and how does it work? You're listening to an interview on Michael Senoff's HardToFindSeminars.com.
Well, the Outlook toolbar does several things. Number one, it gives you direct access right into your LinkedIn account through Outlook, meaning that they open up a browser right inside of Outlook so that you're inside of your shell using the Explorer and you have access to the Internet as well as your LinkedIn account through the Internet. Secondly, there are features that allow you to check through your emails to pull up email addresses of people that you already know and communicate with on a regular basis, which then uploads that into LinkedIn and lets you know who you're already connected to. The next thing that it does is with every email, there's a little info box in the upper right-hand corner of the email. When you drag your mouse over it, it tells you if you're connected to that person, how you're connected to that person, and gives a brief synopsis of their profile. So you can see all of a sudden you're getting all of these cues about your relationships with people. So it keeps it top of mind. There's also what's called the dashboard feature, which is on that toolbar. And what the dashboard does is it goes through and it pulls up all the relationship-oriented things, birthdays, anniversaries, emails that maybe you did not respond to that they want to make sure that you're taking care of. There's a feature in there, the Keep in Touch feature, which you can set to make sure if you haven't emailed that person within 60 days, it'll pop up a reminder to say, hey, touch base with this person.
Now, where is this dashboard?
It's in the Outlook.
Oh, it's in the Outlook, okay.
It's in the Outlook toolbar for Outlook.
Oh, I see it. There it is. That's part of the LinkedIn.
Yes, it is. Yeah, these are tools that almost nobody knows about.
There it is. You know, it's been sitting here. I mean, I see the blue N on my Outlook, and I see the dashboard now, and I just clicked on it. I never even knew what this was. So tell me what, just in a nutshell, contacts to invite. Oh, so this is similar to if I go online into my inbox. So contacts to invite, these are new people who are with LinkedIn, but I haven't invited them.
Exactly. They call it a dashboard for a reason. It's a relationship management dashboard. And it keeps track of who you've been communicating with and whether you're connected or not and whether their birthday is coming up, whether there's an anniversary coming up. It integrates a lot of that social data that underpins relationships and allows you to manage that social data. And then it also gives you an option to send people e-cards, send people real live cards. You know, I use send-out cards. And so it says so-and-so's birthday is in a week. I can pop over in 30 seconds, transfer their information out of my Outlook, and auto-populate my Explorer that's opened up into send out cards with a small transfer feature that's called Address Grabber, and in 30 seconds send out a birthday card.
In the dashboard, where is the birthday information?
In the upper right-hand corner. You've got birthdays coming up. Do you use Outlook?
Yeah, I'm on Outlook.
Okay, so do you use Plaxo?
No, what is Plaxo?
Plaxo is an online database where people subscribe. It's free to subscribe.
Okay.
But what it does is it keeps in contact, and if anybody moves or if they've got their birthday information in there, it actually automatically populates that information in your Outlook.
How many millions of people are with Plaxo?
I don't know. I don't have that.
A lot, though.
But they've been around for 7 or 8 years now.
Okay. So do I need Plaxo to integrate that information with my Outlook?
Not necessarily. If you're already collecting birthday information from the people in your Outlook, it will auto-populate up there in your dashboard.
Okay. So that's something I have to set in my normal Outlook.
Yes.
Okay, which I don't have. Okay, very interesting. Now, do you cover this dashboard tool in your training?
In the 201 workshop, yes.
Okay, very good. Okay, let's continue.
There's also a grab feature in that toolbar, which allows you to take someone's information out of an email, auto-populate it into Outlook, and also into LinkedIn.
Tell me how I benefit from that.
Well, instead of having to retype everyone's information to get them into your address book, you know how people have those signatures at the bottom?
Yeah.
You highlight the information, grab it, and it auto-populates it right into your Outlook.
Okay, I see. So I open up an email, and I look at their signature, and then I right-click.
Actually, you highlight the signature and click on grab.
This is in my regular email, right?
Yep. And the LinkedIn toolbar there is the grab feature.
Over to where it says info over on the right?
No, up in the toolbar.
Up in the toolbar. Like, I'm looking at an email, so I got an email here.
Right. If you opened it up outside of the pane view, you probably won't see that.
Yeah, that's probably why.
But if you're looking at it in the pane view, you can highlight the information and click grab, and it'll grab that information.
Okay. All right. That's interesting. Okay.
There are little kinds of little shortcuts like this. You asked me if this was a time saver. It's an enormous time saver.
Yeah. If you want to master this, these things are important. Absolutely. This is the stuff I want to learn.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the Internet Explorer toolbar, some benefits of that. One, I know you and I talked briefly about categorizing your contacts.
Right. And because there's no way to categorize your contacts directly inside of LinkedIn, the bookmark feature is a great way to save searches, to begin to populate and sort your different contacts into groups. If you go to my blog, there's a link there that's called CanFanPan, currently active, formerly active, and potentially active. And it describes a podcast with Christian Myode, who's one of the top users of LinkedIn. And he talks about how he separates and sorts his network. So you could put actually like categories in Outlook and use your bookmarks in that toolbar to save your sort, to save specific profiles, etc.
Okay, let me ask you this. When you're doing a search, like a people search, let's say I'm logged in and I search marketing consultants. Is it only searching through my network, my first, second, and third tier, or is it?
Unless you're a paid user, then it'll say your network and it'll say the LinkedIn network. It'll make a very clear differentiation between the people you're connected to and the people you're not connected to.
I see. So it makes sense, if I want to contact with other consultants, it makes sense to search my network because I have access to them.
Exactly. You have a pathway to get to those people.
Now, I am a paid user.
Uh-huh.
Being a paid user, I can search the entire network and still have access to them.
Exactly. Because when you're a paid user, there's a feature called InMail, and there are some advanced features there that will allow you to connect with people that you're not directly connected to via the mail inside of LinkedIn.
Talk about the frustration of email today, and I'll tell you one thing I see these closed networks replacing a lot of use for email, people moving their entire connections into a closed source so they can avoid the spam and the frustrations of email. Have you found that to be true? For more information on how to use LinkedIn to network and generate new clients and customers, go to www.linkedinseminar.com. That's www.linkedinseminar.com. LinkedInSeminar.com.
Well, I can see that it can head that way, and I certainly manage a lot of my communications through LinkedIn now because I'm protected from spam, basically. However, until they've really made a robust back-end and relationship conversation management, which it's not that yet, I can't see it replacing it yet. But as they build that interactivity, I can absolutely see it replacing it because it's got a built-in spam filter. And I don't know about you, but I got spam arrest, and some of those buggers still get through.
Oh, yeah.
And I still have almost 100 emails a day that I have to read.
Yeah.
I don't have access to any of the social data that I need to have relationship-based conversations other than what's in my head. And I don't know about you, but the stuff in my head disappears sometimes.
Right. Increasing your links to your website, we touched on this a little bit. Can you increase your Google ranking using LinkedIn?
Absolutely, you can. I contribute to various forums in different industries that I'm interested in. And there are people who, once they put their LinkedIn profile up and get it up and well written, when they were not findable before, all of a sudden they came up number one, two, or three in a search for their name.
And not only on Google, on Yahoo and MSN too.
All of the search engines. They follow the links. They're constantly looking for new information. You've got to remember that search engines, their whole idea is to index and categorize every piece of information on the planet. That's Google's given mission and make it easily findable. So what they're doing is they're constantly consuming new information. So another way is by using questions and answers. They're constantly looking for new information and new ways to find things.
All right, let's talk about a hugely beneficial reason for using LinkedIn is information, and that's researching others, even before you contact them. How do you train people to use the research options to make direct contacts and indirect contacts?
Well, the first thing is what I train them to do is get crystal clear what you're trying to accomplish. You know, I can teach you all kinds of ways to search. But are you actually going to do the searches, and are you going to do the right kinds of searches if you don't know what you're really looking for? So number one is get really crystal clear what you need. Get crystal clear what you're trying to accomplish, because then your searches become very, very effective. Instead of a big, broad search, you can do a very targeted search and narrow it down to five or six key candidates that you need to talk to. That takes the whole overwhelming aspect of the enormity of 17 million people plus, right, and makes it doable. I would say that's the foundation, and then search becomes natural when you know what you're looking for.
Let me ask you this. On the profiles, many will see all these icons, like there's a toplinked.com, and then you see all these little images like world management consultant. They're groups and associations, but they're little icons and stuff. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I do, yeah. They're the LinkedIn groups.
Now, what is that?
They're LinkedIn groups, and what they are they're basically ways for people to sort themselves and associate in things that interest them.
Where do you find all the LinkedIn groups?
There's no complete category of the LinkedIn groups in LinkedIn. In the 201 workshop, we talk about offline resources that you can use to find some of those groups.
Right.
But there's an abbreviated catalog. If you go down to the bottom page, and we talk about this again in the 201, if you go down to the bottom page under the U category.
Bottom page of what? The main LinkedIn?
Any page on LinkedIn. There is a sitemap at the bottom.
Okay.
And on the second column over, it says U, and at the bottom of that, it says groups.
Okay, yeah, I got it. About LinkedIn groups, featured groups from your network. Okay. And so these groups, becoming members of these groups or earning, I guess, the right to be in a group, you get to take this little logo and put it on your profile, kind of acts as an endorsement.
Exactly. Well, not only that, but it gives people cues to understand who you are and what's important to you.
I see.
You know, when we talk about starting to advance search features, which we talk about in the 201, that becomes extraordinarily powerful.
So let's do an example for, say, my HMA marketing consultants. Let's say they want to look for potential clients. Are there any groups that they could search and maybe give them a better chance of finding a more qualified potential prospect?
That question comes from a sales mindset.
Okay.
The better question would be, what's your target market and what groups are around your target market, number one, and what groups are around your perfect client, number two.
I agree. Yeah, you're right.
If we're talking about positioning in social media here, we're not talking about the sales process. We're talking about positioning. We're talking about identity building. We're talking about credibility building, being known, generating buzz and interest. I promise you, almost no one else is doing this inside of LinkedIn right now.
Okay.
But what they are doing is they're taking the approach that you just started off with.
You've got to get out of that sales generate elite mindset.
Exactly.
Instead of go to them, it's got to be them come to you.
Yep.
Which is good marketing.
Which is good marketing.
Okay, so you're going to give me an example.
For example, if I'm looking for an expert, let's say, in blogging, I can go into one of the groups that I belong to, my LinkedIn Power Forum, and search just the members of that group for an expert in blogging.
Do you have to be a member of the group to search it?
To search the group, yes.
Okay, you have to be a member.
Yes.
And how does one become a member?
Each of those little links, of those little, what do you call them? The
group directory.
Let's say that you've found someone's profile and you see a group you want to belong to. If you click the little icon of the group, it'll take you to the invite page.
Okay, gotcha.
Now, invitation rules are set up by the group moderator. Just because you ask to be invited doesn't mean you're going to be accepted.
So it's kind of like Yahoo groups, but groups within LinkedIn.
Exactly. And like I said at the very beginning of this, this is about a mirror of what happens in real life. Bringing the power of search, bringing the power of relationship, bringing all of that into a pool that you can now dip into, and into a depth you cannot even begin to comprehend in the real world, in the physical world.
Can you give me a case study, one of your students, any story that just sticks out in your mind, before LinkedIn, after LinkedIn, any one person, and it could be a small thing, a new client, anything you can think
of?
Well,
the things that really stick out in my mind right now, given our current economy, are the job seekers and also the recruiters. The ones that I've trained have been able to go in, build a strong profile, reconnect with people that they've known in the past, reestablish those relationships, start searching through those networks and finding jobs in a matter of days instead of a matter of weeks or months. This is difficult to sort of sort through it all because it's all happening so quickly right now.
That's okay. Well, I'll tell you, any of my students who are doing audio interviews, this is going to be an amazing tool for me, and it's going to really simplify the process for me getting experts to do audio interviews with me. Because it may seem easy, but, you know, sometimes when you're using direct email or you're doing a cold contact, you never hear back from them. I may have to email 10 people to invite for an audio interview and maybe only one. But I could see this really shortcutting that process and me getting much more qualified people and interesting subjects for my website.
Absolutely. And I can speak to my personal experience in that, you know, I've been looking for joint venture partners. And as I start to look at the different industries where I want to do joint venture partners, as I start doing keyword searches, you know, people who manage real-world offline networks are the perfect people for me to be talking to. So I look up network manager or network owner or executive director network. You know, I start to do some natural searches, and I'm meeting people who can put me in front of 10,000, 20,000, 100,000, 500,000 people.
Yeah, like an association, like American Marketing Association or something like that, where none of their members are even on LinkedIn. They can move that whole network onto LinkedIn and add value to their association.
And that's actually what I'm doing systematically here in my local market, is I'm training the heads of the chambers of commerce here on LinkedIn and partnering with them to get their entire organization onto LinkedIn and trained in how to use it to really unlock the value of the network.
Let's talk about that. Let's say there's some listeners who have offline networks.
Mm-hmm.
What is the best system and the best way to get them LinkedIn? I mean, I'll give you an example of what I did. I used a tool. It searched my Outlook. It found 400 and something people who are already LinkedIn members, and I automatically sent invites. That's how it got started with me.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a right way and a wrong way to do this? Can you give some advice for someone who has an offline network?
Let me say this. Without properly educating your network to the opportunity, without fully understanding it, at best you're going to have an abortive effort. Part of the challenge that real-world networks have is fighting for attention. So if you're going to introduce LinkedIn and not position it well for the benefit of your members, they're getting lots of information all the time anyway. So it's really you want to look at how can you position people's participation in LinkedIn as a value add for them. What's in it for them? Once you've got that message done clearly, you don't want to just mass broadcast to people. You actually want to, at meetings, begin talking about it. It's all about word of mouth. These kinds of social networks are all about word of mouth. And the more buzz that you create, the more excited people get. You know, and that's why I make myself available to those kinds of groups, because if it's not done well, it'll be an abortive attempt.
Let's talk about LinkedIn's questions and answers. Describe what this is and how we can benefit by using it.
Okay, beautiful. I'm sure everyone on the call here has heard of Alex Mendosian. If you haven't, he's one of the top internet marketers, and he developed a program called an Ask database. And the whole idea behind this was ask the people in your networks what their problems were, what problems do they have, and create products to solve them, and then sell them those products. LinkedIn's questions and answers are just like that, only you have the potential of being seen by 17 million people in the LinkedIn network.
So if I'm asking a question, is it open to the entire network?
It's open to the entire internet.
Internet, okay.
Because they publish these things to the search engine.
The questions and the answers.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
So if you're answering questions and you put your websites on there, your email address, whatever, your blog, every time it publishes, that's another link to your website. It's another link to your blog. It's another thing for the search engines to crawl and find. And if you're asking questions, you're getting input from people all over the world so that you know how you're doing. You know how to find resources. I mean, you can find anything. Anything that you need is already in your network. This I teach in my business development training. Anything you need is already in your network. If you, number one, know exactly what you're looking for, number two, are crystal clear and communicate it crystal clear, and number three, you get your ask in gear.
Get your ask in gear.
That's one of my trademark slogans. Get your ask in gear.
I love it. Okay.
I really think that people have still not even an inkling of the possibility of this.
No. Any advanced stuff that just really would blow me away? I'm looking at it right here on LinkedIn. I'm looking at the services, answers, my profile, jobs hiring people. What else can you think of that's really cool that 99.9% of the people don't know about?
Well, there's a lot of offline resources around LinkedIn.
Yeah, let's talk about some.
Yeah, like my LinkedIn Power Forum.
Okay, what is that?
My LinkedIn Power Forum was begun when LinkedIn began by a gentleman named Vincent Wright. And Vincent Wright created this aggregation of people that are power users for LinkedIn. So when you become a new user, you can go to Yahoo Groups, type in LinkedIn, and it comes up with about 700 or 800 LinkedIn-related groups.
Wow.
Yeah, listen, it's just mind-boggling. It's mind-boggling. The resources that are available, when you kind of get a good sense of the space and you understand how social media works, you do a little bit of investigation and the whole world opens up to you.
So these power users and these Yahoo groups, these are people discussing advanced ways of using LinkedIn?
Well, not only that, but they're relationship building. They're talking around specific groups and issues and interests and ideas. They're developing new technologies together. I mean, it really opens up an entire world that you don't even know exists.
If you'd like to expand your business network, go to LinkedInSeminar.com. That's www.LinkedInSeminar.com. LinkedInSeminar.com. Or email me at michael@michaelsenoff.com. For more interviews like this, go to hardtofindseminars.com.